This is the Monday Motor Minute brought to you by Engine Extreme.
It is 6:49. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. Well, the question is, will we get a little bit of a relief at the tanks now that the petrol pumps, now that the war might well be over? South African motorists may finally have reason to breathe a sigh of relief, with early indications suggesting that fuel prices could decrease in July. That's after months of painful increases at the pumps. However, economists have cautioned that fuel pricing is influenced by a complex combination of global and local factors. I love that. When it's going up, it's very simple. It has to go up because of the international. No, but when it's coming down, it's a little bit more complex. Well, let's try and understand this to help us understand whether South Africans are likely to receive a fuel price relief and what determines these price adjustments. We're joined by Professor Peter Bauer. He's an economist from the University of Johannesburg. Professor Bauer, good morning. Thanks for joining us so bright and early, or not so bright. Well, maybe it'll be a bit bright later today. Thanks for joining us. I hope you are well.
Good morning, Howard. Thank you for inviting me.
So let's start with the big picture. After several months of rising fuel prices, given the fact that this agreement was supposedly signed yesterday, are we likely to see a decrease in the fuel price in July?
Okay, so there are a number of factors that we need to put into consideration. Firstly, mm-hmm. we need to look at global demand and supply. We need to look at the reestablishment of the fuel flows between the different countries and bringing the backlog back into order. We need to also look into factors such as the global uncertainty that we're still experiencing, the conflict in the Middle East, for example. And then we also got to take a look at South Africa's own distribution and demand factors that are taking place within the economy. And many of these local demand factors actually are looking at, for example, businesses, economic growth, the rate, the current state of inflation, obviously, in the economy, and the rise of interest rates and how that is obviously going to be impacting business decision making and household consumer spending patterns.
So is it not just an issue of the forward price of fuel in the markets?
Yes, that does play a role. And that would have played a role a little bit, shall we say, going further back. With the level of uncertainty, many of the forward contracts have been, which were very much set, may have actually acted as a little bit of a stabilization for when the fuel prices initially increased as a bit of a break to shall we say, ease some of that forward upward pressure impact. But when we come out of that cycle, the forward contracts that have already been set have been set during periods of increased uncertainty. We were never really sure when those peace deals would be signed. If we had a bit of understanding that, you know, on President Trump's 80th birthday, you know, maybe we would have seen a signature appearing, for example, then it would be very different. But sitting with those kind of contracts, what is actually going to happen now is I mean, and that's just one of those elements, is that increased price is obviously going to remain a little higher. And then, of course, if you take a look at global supplies and their global distribution, it's very, if we're going to see an easing of fuel prices, it's going to be slow in the happening, if I can put it that way.
Right. It's so fascinating for me because I found it perplexing how volatile the price was, given the fact that not all of the world's oil production even came from that area. The United States isn't particularly reliant on the Middle East for oil, and yet prices in the U.S. were going up. I found it so perplexing in a way. Well, not perplexing. No. I just found it quite difficult to understand, because why would prices go up in the U.S. if the U.S. is self-sufficient, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're a U.S. producer, and let's suppose, I'm just going to use a hypothetical number, $100 per barrel. And I'm a U.S. producer, why must I sell my oil at $60 a barrel when I can sell it at $100? And I think this is a big thing. And also, it's exactly the same logic we can apply to, shall we say, tariffs. If you have tariffs coming into an economy and your international prices are higher, that's not going to induce local producers to sell at a lower price. On the contrary, it's going to actually push prices up. So your market prices will remain at market prices. They are very much internationally determined. And so the U.S. did not get any relief in that sense. And then as such, with all those increases in tariffs, the costs for the people within the Americans living within the U.S., they were definitely taking up some of the load from those increased prices.
I know South Africa has a price that's determined by government. So our petrol stations don't get to choose their own pricing. Is that unique to South Africa, or is that something that is fairly common around the world?
To answer that question, it's really difficult to specify exactly which of the other countries right now do something very similar. But it is a practice used, but many other countries also use, for example, very much station-based prices. Right. Gives consumers a little bit more flexibility in terms of, and also the suppliers, for example, overseas, they can adjust their prices, even if they're marginal adjustments, to attract consumers. So it gives them a lot more flexibility in the sense. But in terms of us setting prices, yes, it is very much set by authorities. And that also creates a degree of stability. Of course, it can obviously impact us on the other end of the scale. So you have suddenly a global increase in fuel prices. But for us, we were then protected, or at least buffeted a little bit by those initials. And it also depends, for example, on our own current fuel levies.
I think I was going to get there, to explain, you know, because that was something that we saw government playing with a little bit in order not to increase the price the way it should have. Are we back to the full levies now? Or are we?
The way I do understand it is yes. The reprieve ended, I think, at the end of last month, or at least the beginning of this month, if I'm not mistaken. So we are back to our normal fuel prices. So while we did see a little bit of relief, which was absolutely, I think, really necessary given the state of our own economy, I think it's where we are going to see those. So those adjustments, as shall we say, international prices now come back down again. The fuel levies are now kicking back in again, which is keeping it up. So we're not going to see as much of a drop off coming down in terms of the economy. But again, a matter mentioned a little bit earlier is just in terms of, as well, of businesses themselves, because we are applying the brakes in terms of interest rates. Cost of business is, you know, cost of borrowing capital is going up again. So we got the anchors in the economy, and then we've got these fuel prices that have been fed into businesses. Where do they actually, are businesses going to be able to absorb these now, these changes, or are they going to sort of relay it over through to the consumer, which is normally going to be the case. So we're going to start seeing, for example, with the higher interest rates, that slower economic growth, and of course, the impacts of that. I mean, we've had a wonderful growth so far. We've seen the interest rates coming down since the end of last year, and or at least the beginning of this year. We've seen that come down. Economic growth grew much faster than anticipated previously. We were sitting at almost 2% annual economic growth, which was a real massive increase. And that was really wonderful. But now, obviously, as businesses now start to slow down, cost of doing business is going up again. Cost of expanding our business operations is increasing. And again, that's sort of like, you know, putting pressure again on households and households' consumer spending. So from the demand side, we might actually start seeing a little bit of pressure coming back into the households again.
Yeah. And in terms of once this agreement seems to be a little bit more solid, can we expect a little bit more stability?
I think going forward, there's a very good chance. Obviously, we're still facing certain, you know, international conflict zones. We're looking at the Middle East. We're looking at Ukraine. That is still a significant impact globally. We're looking at the changing trade dynamics that have been at play for the last, 2 years. That uncertain environment hasn't cleared up. And so that uncertainty within the market is definitely feeding back into, again, you know, businesses and decision making. And again, as you mentioned earlier, you know, those forward contracts and the way in which they're going to be played out.
That is where we do need to leave it. Professor Peter Bauer, thank you so much for your insights. That was Professor Peter Bauer, economist from the University of Johannesburg, helping us understand whether South Africans can expect fuel price relief in July.